You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, May 19th, 2025. And of course, this is Grandpa Dan streaming with you at RadioAlbion.com, kicking off another Monday, helping you get the work week started off right. And we're starting off this week all about the conspiracies. Because the so-called conspiracy theorists, I would say, have a better track record than the so-called experts. I've got a selection of stories from our favorite Monday source, the Daily Mail, and all of them relating with some sort of element of conspiracy theories. It's funny because in some of these stories, they obviously continue to use the term conspiracy theory, conspiracy theorists, in a derisive manner. And yet, even in these various stories, they really can't counter the so-called theories. Let's go ahead and jump right into it, because this is the big news today, and it is all about Biden and his cancer diagnosis. So our first story is headlined, Biden conspiracy theorists leap on video of him saying he has cancer in 2022. A resurfaced clip of Joe Biden saying he has cancer during a 2022 speech has been seized upon by conspiracy theorists after the president's actual cancer diagnosis was confirmed 3 years later. Now, I have to stop here, because aren't they tacitly admitting here that the conspiracy theorists are right? You can tell by the headline of the story, they're trying to imply that these lunatics just don't know what they're talking. They've been claiming that this was a sign that he is admitting he had cancer, and then they turn around and say, well, now he's had his actual cancer diagnosis. You got to love that even while they're trying to sound dismissive in their tone, at the very least, they also were admitting that, once again, the so-called conspiracy theorists were correct. Biden, then 79, was speaking about environmental pollution in Massachusetts when he veered off script and said, that's why I and so damn many other people I grew up with have cancer. The remark, delivered in the present tense, triggered immediate confusion and speculation at the time. The White House in 2022 quickly dismissed the statement, saying Biden was referring to non-melanoma skin cancers removed before he took office. I've seen that one, allegation, you know, that was about this basal cell skin cancer. And I laughed, because, I mean, I have those all over me. Y'all know I had the real melanoma several years back. And that's the big boy. But those basal cells and that, what is it, squamous cell or whatever they call it, I literally have those things all over me. I don't know how many of those I've had cut off. And it was like, oh, he was talking about it. It was very scary for him having this skin cancer that, like, you know, I've got some right now. I got a big ugly one growing on my face. I need to get off, and I just gotta wait. Because I'm not the president and I don't have nonstop health care. And we're gonna get back to that here in a minute. But with Biden's office confirming on Sunday that he has metastatic prostate cancer, the line is being viewed in a new and far more explosive light. The resurfaced footage is now going viral, with critics suggesting it may have been an accidental admission or even a sign that the truth had been hidden for years. Now, we'll stop there. As y'all know, I don't read these whole things. They're very wordy and, yeah, but there's a lot to unpack here. For starters, as I said earlier, this is the president. This isn't you or me or anybody else that can't afford to really deal with the healthcare system in this country. This guy was the president of the United States. They do a PSA test for these for the prostate cancer, which I need to get one. You know, I last time I saw my oncologist about the other, you go in there. I had to veer off into a personal story that may or may not have anything to do with this. But I go in there every time I'd go see my oncologist. And they do this huge, they do draw all these vials of blood for all of these blood tests. Okay, makes sense. You know, you're following up from cancer diagnoses. That makes sense. And then and it was just frustrating for me, and I have to share it because, again, it highlights the scam that the U.S. healthcare system is, just a big money scam. Anyway, they draw like two or three vials of blood out, all this blood. They're running all of this blood work. And I go in and see the oncologist, and he's talking about this, that, or the other, and everything looks fine so far, blah, blah, blah. Now, and then he says, well, you may want to go to your regular doctor and get a PSA test. And at the time, I didn't really think much of it. I left. But on the way home, I'm thinking, wait a minute. These assholes just drew like two or three huge, complete vials of blood, and they can't do a PSA test? What are they even testing for? They're damn sure billing for it. No, they're telling me I got to go back and do more. Pay more money to do yet another test. I've got to back around to it. Anyway, I veered off. The point is, it's not even necessary for you to go get a finger shoved up your ass. They do those scans, and it's like my prostate's the size of a grapefruit, which is fairly normal for somebody my age. I don't know if it's really that size, but you get the point. Getting back on topic. Let's get back on topic. This guy's not you, and he's not me. He's the president of the United States. And like, this guy probably got seen by the doctor at least once a month. For sure, every 6 months. And you're telling me he's 80 years old and they hadn't bothered with this? They hadn't checked any of this. Prostate cancer is one of the slowest moving cancers. And so if it's detected early, then you have various treatment options. And you're telling me that nobody picked up on anything with this. Now, either the PSA test doesn't actually work, because you only have, there's only a couple options here. When things get kind of murky and muddy, you step back and say, okay, what are our choices here? The first choice is, even though he was the president of the United States and he was getting all of this, you know, all this access to medical care, just nobody bothered giving him a PSA test and saying, hey, what's up? Option number two, they did do this. And the PSA tests are basically yet another money scam hoax and don't actually work all that well. Or number three, they knew he had cancer, just didn't bother treating him. Which is it? You know, I mean, that's pretty much our litany of choices here. And now all of a sudden it's like, I mean, you know, and this cancer diagnosis he's got, it's metastasized and moved into his bones. And his family is discussing treatment options. I'm not going to make fun of anybody dealing with this, even though, you know, this guy is what he is. You know, you can have your opinions of what type of person he is. But, I mean, you don't. It's not something you're going to sit there and mock or make fun of. Only a fool would do that. But I mean, let's just be real here. He's screwed. When they say, you know, him and his family are discussing treatment options, he's boned. You're just going to go ahead and start. If it's late in the game, but you better try to get right with Jesus. But that's why you don't wait till the last minute. We're not going to get off on that today. But yeah, he's boned. The big question is, how long did they know this? He come off script in this story here and back in 2022 talking about having cancer. Well, were they doing treatments? Did the treatments not work? Or did they just let the old guy die of cancer? Basically, let the cancer keep growing, because why the hell not? At the end of the day, when this happened, when this video popped up in 2022, and he says, I have cancer, the conspiracy theorists that jumped on that and said, well, this guy has cancer, they were right. Because the odds are he had it back then. If it's got to the point of metastasizing now, then they were correct. They can hand wave, these media people can hand wave all they want to and try to pretend like, you know, oh, well, they just got lucky. But that doesn't change the fact they were right. And as usual, the media people were wrong. Now, I want to move on from the story before I do. This story drops at the same time some pieces, some snippets of the, remember the special prosecutor who investigated him over the documents or whatever, and then said he basically couldn't drag him before court because he doesn't know where he is. He worded it nicer than that, but he basically said this old guy's so senile he doesn't know where he is. They've released some of those, and I encourage you to go listen to some snippets of that. It's about what you would think. Is this old guy didn't have any idea what was going on. No clue. And these were the same people, by the way, who said he was perfectly fine. Jake Tapper has come out now and he's pushing a book about how they were all just fooled by the white bullshit. You, I, and anybody else with eyes to see could tell this guy didn't know if he was horseback or afoot. Oh, but the media people who were slobbering and circling around him every day just had no clue. They were all tricked. They were all tricked, by the way. It's all disgusting. Anyway, yeah, now this story drops right at the time these audio clips have been released. And again, I encourage you to give them a listen because it's really sad. It's really, you know, is it really sad? Obviously, this guy was just being used as a prop for other people's own ambitions. Let's move on in our Conspiracy Theory Monday to our next story. Because, you know, now we got MAGA in charge. We don't have those Biden people trying to fool us anymore. We got the MAGA in charge. They're cleaning house. FBI Director Dan Bongino, I don't know if I'm saying that right because I don't keep up with these people. But anyway, Dan Bongino drops Jeffrey Epstein bombshell that sends MAGA conspiracy theorists wild. Spoiler alert, the bombshell is basically saying that the narrative, the official narrative, is shockingly the correct one. FBI Deputy Director Dan Bongino stunned MAGA conspiracy theorists on Sunday as he gave his verdict on pedophile Jeffrey Epstein's 2019 death. And I'm going to be the last person. I'm going to be the last person to defend Jeffrey Epstein. But I am a stickler that words have a meaning. This guy, Jeffrey Epstein, may or may not have been a pedophile. I do not know. I have never seen any evidence suggesting that he had sexual contact with prepubescent children. Words have to have a meaning. I really look, and this is somebody obviously I don't like. You know, I nobody sit around and say, you're a big fan of Jeffrey Epstein, aren't you? You're probably on that flight list. I can assure you, I am not on the Epstein flight list. And I'm not going to be, because I'm going to, before this story's over, we're going to talk about what he really was, and they never seem to want to talk about that. But I if words are going to have any meaning, you have to go with the meaning. And we know what the dictionary definition of pedophile is. Was he trafficking in underage hookers? Yes, obviously. You know, I I'm not acting like that's no big deal, but that's not pedophile. Jeffrey Epstein's going, he was a lot of things, and he may have been a pedophile. I'm not saying he's not, but damn it, words got to have meaning or we can't have real discussions. And if we let that slide when it comes to people that we don't like, then, you know, when words get twisted around and used against people you do like, how do you complain about that? Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm just being a little, I don't know, stickler for that, but I hate it when they throw this term pedophile around. You're like, well, what do you mean by that? Well, he had girls that were 16 years old that were having sex with rich and wealthy people. Not pedophilia. I'm not saying it's a-okay either, but I'm saying words have to have a meaning. Let's keep going. I'm going to get lost in the woods. Otherwise, Bongino and his supervisor and his superior, FBI Director Kash Patel, sat down with Fox News' Maria Bartiromo. You can tell I'm a big fan because I can't say it right. Bartiromo to deny claims that Epstein was somehow killed inside New York City's infamous Metropolitan Correction Center. I have to stop there because they do this. They do this all the time. You see, they claim that the claim is something else. That's not necessarily true. And they, in other words, they create a straw man argument against these things. The dying claims that Epstein was somehow killed inside New York City's infamous Metropolitan Correction Center. Now, see, The problem here is I don't think it was him. Remember when that happened? I have a memory. It gets a little sketchy sometimes, I'll admit, because I'm getting older. But I remember. Remember, he killed himself, allegedly killed himself in the cell. They went in there with a gurney. Then with all of these media people standing around taking pictures and filming, they rolled him out and just so happened to have the blanket pulled back where you could see him. Just so happened, all pure coincidence, so you could get a glimpse of him. And of course, those crackpot crazy conspiracy theorists were looking at like the shape of the earlobes and things like that. And people were pointing out, this isn't him. This is some other guy, but it isn't him. And I believe that. I believe that. Because what was Jeffrey Epstein? He was running he was part of a Mossad operation to blackmail American political figures and influential people. It was a Mossad operation. They never talk about that. They'll sit there and claim the guy was a pedophile without evidence. But they never will touch on the M word, will they? He was Mossad. Because if you do that, if they touch on that, then you're like, hey, wait. Why would our greatest ally ever in the Middle East be running a blackmail operation on our political figures and influential and rich, powerful people in the country? Why would they be doing that? They're our greatest ally ever, after all. They're never going to touch that third rail. So they come out and talk about, he was a pedophile. And what about that Epstein list? We want to know who's... You said Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide, she said. Let me back up. On the program, Bartiromo asked Patel about the ongoing skepticism surrounding Epstein's death. You said Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide, she said. People don't believe it. Patel then said that everyone has a right to their opinion. Love the non-answer, huh? But as someone who has worked as a public defender, what that would have to do with this, I don't know. As a prosecutor, again, he's appealing to his own authority. This has nothing to do with the case. Who's been in that prison system, I guess, as a tour or something? Who's been at the Metropolitan Detention Center? Who's been in segregating housing? You know a suicide when you see. He never mentions in all of his appeal to his own authority. He never mentions where he was a medical examiner. At that point, Bongino jumped in. He killed himself. I've seen the whole file. He killed himself, the deputy director insisted. He later reiterated his bombshell assertion. His bombshell assertion is that the narrative they've been telling us all along is the correct one, by the way. He repeated it on Twitter for anyone who had not seen the interview. I've reviewed the case. Jeffrey Epstein killed himself. There's no evidence in the case file suggesting otherwise, Bongino wrote. Not asking you to believe me or not, I'm telling you what exists and what doesn't. If new evidence surfaces, I'm happy to evaluate, he vowed. Well, how about evaluating whether the hell that was even him? That's you notice how they just keep dancing around that. There was also a conspiracy theory. How come y'all aren't talking about that one? How come you aren't showing the pictures, comparing? And why is it we're supposed to believe that in such a high-profile case like this, they didn't keep the blanket covering? They just so happened to have it. It just fell off. It just fell off, and they were there, just right there, when the media was snapping pictures. Almost as if it's to convince you that this guy actually is dead instead of, I don't know, chilling out in Tel Aviv somewhere. Pretty, you know, we have these obvious conspiracy theories. And, you know, ones from the past, I guess is what I should say. Blasts from the past. But we also have the ongoing conspiracy theories. Let's keep moving to our next story with an exclusive headline from the Daily Mail. And in Daily Mail fashion, the headline is practically a paragraph long. Welcome to the road with the fewest English speakers. Residents reveal what they really think of their neighbors and why some critics are unfair. This, of course, is in wonderful Britain. The long rows of tiny Victorian terraced houses are like hundreds of others around the Midlands, the North, and any of the towns and cities whose occupants powered Britain's industrial past. But Mornington Street in St. Matthew's, Leicester, can boast something the others cannot. It is, according to official statistics, the road with the lowest proportion of English speakers in the UK. It's hardly a surprise to find that dubious title is claimed by a street in Leicester. After all, according to the 2021 census, only 57% of the city's residents were born in England, down from 65% in 2011. I have to stop here to remind you that the Great Replacement is also supposedly a conspiracy theory. Right up there with Epstein's suicide and Joe Biden's cancer diagnosis. How is it these people have the nerve to berate you and claim that the Great Replacement is a conspiracy theory? And then they run stories like this. Are they just bragging at this point? I mean, you can't have it both ways. You have a story like this that is openly admitting that this is the case. Are they claiming it was by accident? That it's not a conspiracy, it's not a plan, but it's just all happened just like a force of nature. That's how they do. You know, it's how they try to form, how they try to frame a lot of these things that they're obviously intentionally doing. You know, it's just like a hurricane, you know, or like a thunderstorm. You had a thunderstorm blow up and a tornado, and now there's no English speakers on this street in England. You don't dare go into these areas of London. It just so happened. We don't know. We got to clean up the aftermath. I don't know. Nothing you can do about a natural disaster. Over the decades, Leicester has been the destination of choice for generations of incoming Bengali, Indian, Pakistani, and Somalian migrants, along with many others, each finding groups of their own people already settled in particular areas of the city, because that's what people do. No mention of why the hell they're there in the first place. They're just their destination. It's like they're picking a vacation spot. People always wind up congregating with their own. They do, for the most part. I mean, again, we're talking in the macro here, but generally speaking, when people move to somewhere else, they're going to find where everybody who's like them. That's just human nature. Prime Minister Keir Starmer rattled many of his own Labour MPs this week with his Island of Strangers speech, compared by many to Enoch Powell's infamous Rivers of Blood oratory delivered in Birmingham in 1968. I believe, if I remember correctly, reading some of that speech was one of the things that got Sven put in prison, by the way. I wonder if Keir Starmer is going to go to prison for some sort of incitement to hatred or something. No doubt Starmer had in mind areas like Mornington Street and the pocket of streets around it, where the census found that 43% of the over 16 speak little or no English. And although he refused to put a cap on the number of migrants coming to Britain, the PM was adamant about the need for those who do come to assimilate. You see, more of the same bullshit. More of the same, isn't it? He does a speech. You know, one of the difference between the Enoch Powell speech, Enoch Powell was actually really trying to get through to people. Keir Starmer makes a speech trying to kind of sound like he really means to do something. And here they admit he doesn't want to put a cap on these people coming in. So he's not going to actually do anything. I've repeated this to the point of ad nauseum, but I'm going to say it again. The Labour Party did not come into power because the people in Britain suddenly decided they liked their policies. They just got tired of the Tories saying they were going to do something and not bothering. So they just quit showing up to vote for the Tories. And by default, by process of elimination, the Labour Party wound up in there. He refuses to put a cap on the number of migrants coming to Britain, but, excuse me, he's adamant about the need for those who do come to assimilate. And how does he propose to do that? And what if they don't? He's not even going to talk about not letting them come. That's off the table. He's not even willing to say, well, they can come, but only this many can come. He's not willing to do that. Instead, he offers this so-called demand and this being adamant that they're going to assimilate. As if, It's so stupid. It's hard for me, even me. And I'm pretty good at being able to verbalize, to illustrate, and talk about things. It's even difficult for me to put this into words. We're going to force them. We're going to demand. We're adamant that they're going to. He must have been snorting coke on the train. Oh, I'm sorry. It was just a tissue. He's quite adamant. Those people have got to come here. They're going to assimilate. Be a good Englishman from Somalia. When they admit that these people come there and they go to this particular area, why? Because their own people are there, which is human nature, you know. And on the one hand, he's sitting here. He's going to let these people come in mass. He's not even willing to put a cap, much less talk about stopping them from coming. He's not even willing to say, we're going to let them come, but only this many. And then he's going to demand that they become something they're not. It is so absurd on its face. And again, this in the backdrop that if you talk about the Great Replacement, it's a crazy crackpot conspiracy theory. What's Keir Starmer, what is the Labour Party getting out of bringing in all of these people from places like Somalia? You know, and why are they doing it? Obviously, they're doing it on purpose. He's not, it would be the, if he came out and said, we're going to start sinking the boats, nobody else is coming, we're going to start mass deportations, the Labour Party could be in power for the next generation. But they're not. Yeah, that's where it always falls, because they do this same thing. That's where it always falls flat. You know, they're importing people that'll vote for them. You see, they're wanting to, that's so they can keep political power. They use the same stupid argument here in the U.S. Look, if Keir Starmer came out and said, I'm dispatching the Royal Navy to sink any boats here. We're starting the mass deportation. We don't even give a shit. The Labour Party would be in power for a generation to come. Nobody would be able to move them. So that's a lie. It's just observably false that they're doing it to import voters for them. Back to this nonsense about assimilation. With these people that are coming here, whether they're from Pakistan, Bengali, Indian, Pakistani, Somalian, whatever they are, what they're doing when they come in and settle with people their own, you know, that's the area. That's the Somali area. That's the Pakistan area. This is human nature. He's out here. In other words, what he's demanding with this demand to assimilate, this is an appeal to the civic nationalists, to the melting pot boomers. I know the melting pot's an American thing, but it's the same appeal to melting pot believers. You know, I see people, I read articles from people here in America that are highly critical of all this immigration, and then they will fall into this. We need to make these people assimilate into the melting pot like they used to. Usually it's boomers. Usually it's older people. They're still clinging to that lie. They haven't wrapped their minds around that was a lie from the get-go. You've just reached critical mass. Now, you didn't notice the lie when the immigration levels were down here and it wasn't noticeable. But now you've advanced to critical mass, but you're still holding on to the lie that somehow we need to melting pot these people. Make them assimilate. What you're going to make them, what does that even mean? Make them assimilate to start acting like the people who are already there? Why did you bring them here in the first place then? And again, this is an appeal like it's somehow an accident. It's great that these people come, but somehow they just haven't magically started acting like Englishmen. We got to get them acting like Englishmen. This is absurd. They're demanding that someone from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, wherever the hell else, they're demanding that they start acting like what they're not. Well, does that make any sense? How are you going to bring people in? And obviously you're just letting them come in. And then when they get there, you try to act like, oh, they need to pretend they're somebody they're not. That don't even make no sense. The magic dirt, it's just not working. We don't understand. We brought them here. Why are they not acting like Englishmen? What these people do, settling in with their own kind, is human nature. That's what everybody does. the vast majority, again, you're going to have a few people that go out and they really admire the culture they've come to, and they do try to act like the people around them. They oftentimes look silly in doing so, but as a group, human nature is you're going to settle in around people that are like you, that speak your language, that behave like you do, that are your own kind. It's human nature. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong. These people coming to England, coming to Britain, and settling into their own areas around their own people, they're not doing anything wrong. They're not. That's human nature. That's what everybody would do. So integration is non-organic. That's not what people do on an instinctual basis, you know? I mean, here in the U.S., you know, you go to the city and everybody will tell you, you know what areas of the city are the black neighborhoods. There's nobody forcing them to live there. They live there instinctually because people live around their own kind. That's just what people do. That's 100% normal. Indians, I'm not talking about from India. I'm talking feather here, not dot. American Indians. Native Americans. There you go. I'll use the politically correct term just so we're on the same page. American Indians are not forced to live on the Indian reservation. Any American Indian can decide today to pack up his vehicle with his belongings and go live in any city in the United States he wants to go live in. And some do. But most of them live on the reservation. Why? Nobody's forcing them to. Because people instinctually will be around their own kind. That's just normal. But it's just what people normally do. This crap here, like what Keir Starmer's doing here, this is just rhetoric. This is just a bunch of garbage. It's muddying the waters because they don't want to talk about the facts. But we talk about the facts here. They're bringing the people in intentionally. They could stop it. They could stop it tomorrow. They have a navy. It's not a very good one anymore, but they do. And I'm pretty sure it would be adequate to stop a bunch of claptrap boats from coming across. They have a navy. They could stop it from happening. They do not. They do not because they choose not to do so. When they refuse to even put a cap on the number of people coming, there's no talk of kicking them out of the country. So what are you left with? Kvetching about they've got to assimilate? No idea how that's going to happen. This assertion he's going to make these people behave in a manner against their own customs and beliefs and who they are as an individual person or as a race of people, as a group of people. He's basically, this assimilation thing is the claim that you're going to force this groups of people to behave in a way you want them to. Not the way they want to behave. Not in accordance to their own customs and beliefs. They have the ability to stop it. They don't. They choose not to. It's a choice. They refuse to put a cap on how many are coming in, which means unlimited will continue to come in. They refuse to send any of them back for any reason. So you don't get to say at the end of all of that, you don't get to say that something like the Great Replacement is a theory. Is a conspiracy theory that's not based on any evidence. The evidence is right before us. And there's a lot more evidence for that than the idea that Keir Starmer or any of these other fools has any intention of reversing course. Most of the time, yeah, I always say you have conspiracy theories because we don't have all the facts. So we have to take what little facts we have and try to cobble together and figure out what we're talking about. But in this case, that's not what's going on. We have facts. All the evidence is clear. They're bringing them in. They're letting them come on purpose. They could stop them. They choose not to. They won't put a limit on how many are coming in, and there's no talk of sending any back. So you don't have to theorize. It's not conspiracy theory. This is conspiracy. This is conspiracy fact, which, considering the track record, really isn't all that surprising. We'll wrap up on that note. I'll be back tomorrow with the Parish of the Patriots program. It's already done. It is in the can. It is ready. It is ready to go. Post up on the site. Dr. Johnson will be here Wednesday with his Orthodox Nationalist show. Be sure and check that out. And of course, Dr. Johnson will be rounding out our Thursday week, because we keep banker's hours here at Radio Albion. We take 3-day weekends every week. Dr. Johnson will round out our week on Thursday with his installment of the Daily Nationalist. And we all, of course, will be looking forward to that. So, you know, get back to it, Wagies. Enjoy the rest of your work week. As always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.